Shut up and sit down.
Hello and welcome to episode 68 of Geek Grills, a podcast in which geeky women and sometimes guests gather to record topical conversation and then offer it to the masses. The Geek Grills podcast, please remember, is supported solely by our patrons. You can go to patreon.com/grills to help us out today. I'm September, also known as 9 of 12. The Jen is very busy and trying to get her new computer working again, so she can't be with us today. But, exciting news, I do have a new host, Linda from the Glitter Dice podcast, who you may remember from last week, is going to join us from now on.
Hi, nice to see you. Well, hear you again. Not see you, but hear you.
No, if we get $100 in patrons, I think we're going to start doing this video, but we got some time to work that out.
Well, that'd be cool.
Right?
We yeah. Just
go ahead and start doing it anyway at some point. We'll see. So what have you been up to this geeky week?
Well, this week I met with my friends over at Brownie's Boon. I mentioned that when I was on as a guest. We basically went and had our first dress up in the square. So we all dressed up as fairies and took our different crocheted and made things and put them around the square, like around light posts. And they had some reindeer cutouts put up. So we dressed up the reindeers with some scarves. And we just left those, and they all have tags on them that say, you know, if you're cold, please take me with you. I'm not lost. So I was out with the Brownie's Boon girls, and they have their Facebook page. It's facebook.com/Brownie's Boon. And they're always looking for, you know, donations of yarn or donations of money that they can give to the shelters, mostly the women's shelter that's around Marietta Square. Let's see. I also decorated for Christmas.
Brownies are cool.
Yes, brownies are cool. I decorated for Christmas this week because it's our tradition to do that the day after Thanksgiving. And I am a Christmas fairy. Most of my friends will tell you that. I adore Christmas. So like last year, even I had a theme party of Nightmare Before Christmas, but we were Christmas Town. So my friends could come dressed up as people from Halloween Town or Christmas Town, but we had our holiday party and that was a lot of fun. I might do that again this year, maybe if I have time. And then the other thing is I had a brainwave this week, where I want to start a Twitch kind of set of streams called the Pokemon Plushie Project, in which I will find crochet patterns online of Pokemon plushies, and I will cold read them live on the Twitch stream. And by the end of the stream, hopefully, we would have a plushie that looks like whatever Pokemon I'm trying to make. So I'll start out with the first 150. If I get even that far, we'll see if I can make, you know, all of them.
Cool. I want those.
Just got to get my secondary camera set up so you can see what my hands are doing.
That sounds like great fun. I don't knit or crochet, but I know people who do. And we had someone doing that here, but they were just making Pokeballs and leaving them, like, hidden near gyms and stuff.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, I never found any. So what did I do? I enjoyed the hell out of Coverthon. That is, Coverville each year does a really, really long stream. They did reduce it. It was like 18 instead of 24 hours or something this time to benefit Alzheimer's research. And It was just so much fun. I actually ended up in the evening hours, instead of, I was going to go out, and I didn't. I was like, honey, go get me some beer. I'm going to hang out with my internet people. But heard all kinds of great covers. He was doing Brian Ibbett, who's Coverville. He has a bunch of different shows. He's got a Pokemon Go stream, and of course, you know, the morning stream with Scott Johnson and other ones. Film Sack, that's another one. They just did live as part of Coverthon.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was really cool. I called in, or no, I didn't call in. I tweeted with the hashtag, and I got picked for a trivia segment. What they were doing was whoever the guest was at the time was answering the questions. And he kind of like made it all really easy and gave him lots of hints and just gave away a ton of stuff. Every hour, some listeners who had been using the hashtags, you could get picked from the pool. And then I'm getting a box of cool, nerdy stuff.
That Nifty.
Was one for me. So gotta love that. Small Business Saturday was Saturday, and I went to little downtown Statesville, and I didn't have much money, but they had a ding. It's my son making his dinner. I found like cute little things. Like I found a little pin in the antique store for like a dollar. That's a rose, and my niece's middle name is Rose, and. They have a downtown dollars. You can win $100 in downtown dollars and you get an entry every time you buy something. So I think I got like 4 entries, but I haven't heard from anybody. So I probably didn't win that.
I love antiquing. I love going to antique stores.
Anyway, oh, I know. I can spend hours in there. My family ditched me.
Oh,
I took my husband and the boys downtown with me. I was like, listen, I'll buy you ice cream, but when I walk around and look at the shops, you know, maybe you'll get an idea for what I might like. So I have to pick my own present this year. And well, the ice cream shop was closed. And then they got broody where they're like sitting out on the benches and didn't want to go into shops with me. my eldest stuck it out the longest. He would actually go look at things with me and have conversations. But then I went in the antique store. And they were going to go across the street to the pawn shop. And then we were going to, you know, meet up and split up back in the two vehicles and go home. So I come out of the antique store and I didn't even do the downstairs. I was just like, oh, I'll just go meet them at the pawn shop before they take off. They're gone.
Oh, no.
My husband looked at the door with just their normal hours on it, saw that they were about to close or would have had it not been Small Business Saturday and they were taking part of the event, ignored the signs like of, you know, bikes and lawnmowers, everything that was out on the sidewalk along with the placard being evidence that it's open. And all the boys jumped in his car and they just left me downtown.
Well,
yeah.
Spoil sports.
Yeah. They're just, I guess, the stereotypical boys and not wanting to shop.
I guess. But you can find anything in antique stores.
I know. And I found a board game. I wanted like $48 for it, and the condition wasn't very good, so I didn't get it. But historically, I thought it was really, really fascinating. Hold on. I took a picture of it. I gotta find. But it was like some kind of World War II game. And it was from the French point of view. And it had these like teeny tiny little paper pieces. And I opened the box. I looked in and there was someone's scorecard and notes. Which was like,
that's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like you can find a lot of cool little things like that. Like I found an old book. I can't even remember what the name of the book was. But I opened it and it like... it had been from a library, but it then, I guess, had been bought from the library, and then it had somehow made its way to the antique store, and it's just, there was people's names in there from, like, the 50s. Like, they had, like, the library card still in it, like, tucked in the pocket. It was really interesting.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Shh. I had to shush my son. He's, like, knocking around the ladder now. Seriously? The other cool thing is that a guest we had on some time ago, Hannibal, the magician, You can find him at gomagicboy.com. Just put out a book, and mine arrived in the mail. I'm super excited to read it. I also listen to his podcast, which is also named Across the Table, like the book. And he's been really, really busy with gigs lately and getting ready to move to California. But I'd like to have him on the show again soon.
That's really cool.
He's wonderful.
One of my friends from college used to do street magic, and he would do like card tricks all the time. Good memories for me of that. So that sounds really cool.
It is. He's really quite good at what he does. Amazed every time. He's like, why do you keep coming to see the same, like, you know, all my bits? I'm like, because I still can't figure it out, like, at all. So now, with that, it is time for the Geek Grapevine. Sue, speaking of Pokemon. My link's not working. But, basically, the gist of this article was that we met the challenge. Niantic had set a challenge to trainers to go out and catch a certain amount of Pokemon, and then they were going to make Farfetch'd available in North America in the wild.
Oh yeah, and then we did it, or they did it. I wasn't part of that because I didn't have. Well, I caught like three.
It counts.
It counts. I haven't been up on my Pokemoning, Pokemon going, I guess, is a way to say it. Is that a verb? It's a verb now.
Well, going is just, could mean too many things.
Yeah, but, so I helped a little bit, I guess.
Sure. Well, it was 3 billion, which is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And they said that they were going to make Farfetch'd, it was region exclusive before, but it was going to be available worldwide for 48 hours. And then that's here in North America. Kangaskhan is going to be available in East Asia over the same span. I want Kangaskhan. I'm hoping they do this type of thing again.
Well, I think they should, because it'll, you know, it generates interest again. And it ebbs and flows now. And instead of it being the huge thing that it was when it first came out, it's, you know, it's kind of ebbed down a little bit. So if they keep doing this, it'll get people interested again. And, you know, I think it'll be good for them to just keep introducing things.
I think they finally got the hang of that. Because, I mean, it was just such a huge sensation, and then it died down for a while. But doing things like the raids of the, you know, the epic Pokemon, things like this. I mean, Farfetch'd, they're, and Kangaskhan, they're from like first generation, but making it special. And in this, they had an acceleration of like when we got to 1.5 billion, it unlocked like double XP, double Stardust. Lure modules lasted longer. So it was like this progression. So you felt like you were accomplished something bit by bit. When I saw the tweet come up that we'd reached the 3 billion, I was like, let me see. And I was home. I opened, there were 2 Farfetch'd in my yard. It's like, cool, I don't have to run around like a maniac, like, because I only have 48 hours to get it, right?
Yeah, they were just like, hello, we're here.
Extra good job. Thank you for coming to my house. It's funny, because I think I caught my first Pikachu at my house, too. And we don't have a lot show up very often, but when they do, it seems like they're good ones.
Yeah, when the game first came out, sometimes they would spawn very regularly in one spot. So for a while, Dratini's just spawned by my apartment.
Nice.
Yeah, that's how I evolved it. It's just, I just would walk down the road like a block, and they'd be there. So
man, we would run all over for like when there was a Dratini nest. They'd get super busy. There was one down the road for me, but it was at like a place that sells headstones.
Oh dear.
It was like, and it's on like a otherwise 45 mile an hour road, so it was like really awkward. You want to go pull in there just to get a Pokemon? But every time I drove by, there was a Dratini. What do I do?
Yeah. Well, I remember. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I remember there was we went out as a big group to have a poke walk. We were calling them, and we went to Merida Square, and because a lot of Pokemon would spawn around there. And I just remember there's this huge group of us where we're just kind of camped out together, and like a tourist showed up, and all of us were like, it was like just a herd of us, like just ebbing back and forth, being like, oh, there's a thing over there. Oh, look, a thing popped up over there. It's just, it was very kind of surreal, but also really kind of interesting because you were, you know, you're talking to people that you normally probably wouldn't talk to. And it was this very kind of community creating event. It was just, I thought it was really interesting. And
oh, absolutely. And when there were a lot of Pokewalks going on, I mean, I met people in my community that I didn't know before that now, I mean, we've got a Discord channel to share this stuff and a Facebook group. And when they did a Pokewalk in the downtown, like the downtown organization, the Chamber of Commerce helped sponsor it. And the local businesses had like, one of the bars had themed Pokemon drinks, and an organization like made sure all the stops downtown were lured.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that was neat. I miss events like that. They all seem to be just our little group of people sometimes, but it's happening more, especially with raids. Cause if there's a couple of raids popping within a few minutes of each other, we'll set up an event and see if we have enough people to cover two or three right in a row on time so people can use their lucky eggs and get all the XP. And then we'll all meet at like this park that has a ton of stops, and people like throw lures on everything so we can stock back mm-hmm. up. So what have you brought us today? The Greatest Showman?
Yes. When I went to go see Murder on the Orient Express, this was one of the trailers that they showed, and I was very intrigued by it because the Greatest Showman is the story of how the Barnum and Bailey Circus got started up, and it's got a very it's a musical, and it like just the style of it is very reminiscent to me of Moulin Rouge, and it may just be the way that they've cut the trailer, obviously, but I am very interested to see how this is going to turn out because it's got some good actors and actresses in it, and it looks really pretty. And as far as I can tell, of course, snips, and it's only a two minute long trailer, the music sounds good. So I am very interested to see how good this is.
Well, I am absolutely going to check out that trailer as soon as we mm-hmm. get off here.
It's
love
coming out
Moulin
December
Rouge.
20th. And it may just be because it's set in kind of the, it looks, I don't know what time period it's set in. I should know. But it's like Edwardian Victorian kind of esque. I mm-hmm. believe that is when that is supposed to be set.
Now, do you know if the trailer was using any music that's actually going to be in it?
It did look like it because they were actually singing the pieces. Because I could follow their mouths, and they were actually singing the songs that were being used. So it's got, you know, Hugh Jackman in it. So he's really good. He's playing P.T. Barnum, so I was like, okay, we're gonna have to go and see this.
Yeah. Gosh, I might have to rethink MoviePass. A friend of mine was like, you should get MoviePass, it's such a great deal. I'm like, we go to maybe two or three movies a year, so I don't know. But I know we're going to see Star Wars on the 15th, so.
Yeah, and it's a really good deal. Matt's got it. My husband has it. He's been using it. He's seen like four movies in the past month. So it's paid for itself already because it's down super cheap right now. And I think they're doing a deal where if you pay like $90 for the year, that's even cheaper. It's like, I can't do the math in my head right now, but It's really cheap per month. So
yeah, I feel like, I don't know. It's one of those things, like, it's a deal if you use it, but if you're just going to go to movies because you can or you feel like you have to, I don't know. It's like I have trouble talking myself into expenses like that.
Mm-hmm.
So for those of us who, you know, fear the robot uprising, you might be a little encouraged that a human pilot has beaten an AI in a drone race. On October 12th, NASA put on its own demonstration, putting an AI-piloted racing drone against world-renowned drone pilot Ken Liu. Yeah, so this is pretty cool.
I was looking at this. I mean, it's still... The article still ends with, you know, autonomous drones may eventually be used for surveillance and emergency response and all that. So it's like, yeah, but the humans still did better, guys. I mean...
Yeah. And I mean, for things like that, you really, there's a human factor that's really important, right? I mean, because they need to be able to make determinations. But in an outright race, I have to say I am surprised that a person beat an AI just in that respect. But this is, I thought this was really great. I also love, did you see the drone names?
Yes, I saw the drone names. So
Batman, Joker, and Nightwing. Yay!
Yay! Of course they're nerds. Of course they're nerds.
Of course NASA is our people. So on to our main topic today.
So whatever I do next, just don't hate me.
Linda, as our shiny new host, wanted to talk about remakes. It does seem to be the era of the remake. I mean, sometimes it does feel like, doesn't anybody... Like, are we out of stories? And you just went to see the movie you went to see. So do you want to maybe start with your opinion on that? Had you seen the old Orient Express?
I actually saw the one that was part of the A&E series, where the Hercule Poirot is played by the dapper gentleman with the black mustache. I really liked the movie. It was gorgeous because, you know, obviously they've got a movie budget. It had good actors and actresses in it. It, you know, it was true to the story. So I really enjoyed it. And of course, as I said, I like mysteries and I couldn't remember, you know, who the culprit was. I couldn't even remember who got killed. So I, as a, you know, even if it hadn't been, you know, a remake, it was a very good, to me, it was a very good movie. And as a remake, I thought it was really true to the original story because, you know, it was a book first. And then there was, because I did a little bit of research, there was like four other, I don't want to say attempts because they actually, you know, were also fairly good because they pretty much stuck to the original source material. But there were four other times that this was made as either movies or a TV movie. So it's a popular one, apparently, to make.
Well, yeah, that brings to mind The Great Gatsby, because there's been a whole bunch of versions. Like, there's a silent movie, there's been a TV movie. I was researching it, and I was like, I didn't know some of these. I mean, I saw... Fairly recently, actually, I went ahead and watched the DiCaprio one. I think I was trying to get my kids to hang out with me because one of them was reading it in school, you know. And of course, we all read it in school. But I did know about the Robert Redford one. But I didn't know about any of these other ones.
Yeah. The Orient Express, I knew about the one that was part of the A&E series. I didn't know about the one that was made in, I think it was 74, and the other made for TV, and the other one that I didn't know about the rest of them.
It's easy, people get, I think, nostalgic and mad when Hollywood's trying to remake something that that doesn't need it or has its own reason it belonged there. Like the Gatsby, I can look at completely separately from like the Redford version because it was artistically very different.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, but then, you know, RoboCop, why did they do that? It wasn't, I didn't just like hate it. Like everybody had this big tantrum. And I thought there was enough tongue in cheek fan service things in it. I was like, mm-hmm. I see what you did there. You know, funny adventure movie, but they just didn't have to do that. That had its very own flawed character that was a flavor. And because when it came out, it was so like, wow, different from anything else. Mm-hmm. You know, it'd be like redoing the Matrix. Like, don't do that. Don't do that.
Don't. Just don't. Well, like, Disney has done a lot of the live action remakes recently. And personally, like the Cinderella and the Beauty and the Beast, I actually enjoyed those. I'm a Disney girl. I grew up on Disney. And they were able to take the stories, the original stories, and give it, you know, even more depth. Like they flushed out some of the characters more. They, you know, added little tidbits here and there. So I was able to enjoy those and, you know, appreciate them for what they were, you know, with the very pretty backdrops and the work that they did with, you know, camera work and everything.
See, I haven't seen them. And I'm a big Disney nerd too. Like I used to work at Disney World. I still have pixie dust in my hair. but I haven't seen those. I will eventually. Mm-hmm. I just didn't go out of my way. I didn't get excited for it. I feel really weird about the same music being with real people for some reason.
Well, they didn't do that with Cinderella. Cinderella was definitely, it wasn't a musical. They definitely, you know, toned that aspect of it down. But Beauty and the Beast, definitely, they used the same music. They even added some music to it.
Yeah, they added a lot songs. Of trailers with songs. I know all the songs. I worked there. Some guy took me on a date to Beauty and the Beast when I worked there. He cried. Like, aww. Ugly cried. Like, it was kind of adorable, but it got to the point where it started to get uncomfortable. He was bawling.
No. You see, I was okay with the Disney remakes, but the stuff like Transformers, the Transformers movies, I hate those with the passion of a thousand fiery suns. Because there is, I grew up with, you know, like the 90s version of the Transformers and then the versions of the stories that they have done, you know, through animation, like Transformers Animated, Transformers Prime, more recently, are much better stories than the movies will ever be. And quite frankly, they introduce, you know, the big Transformer character, and then to take somebody else's phrase that I have heard, a lot of the times, just after you get, you know, introduced to the character, they catch a really bad case of death. I despise those movies.
Yeah, I really liked the first one.
Yes, the first
liked
one was okay.
The tech and having it be, like, I thought, because the robots were so, you know, unbelievable to begin with, and making it feel real was really cool. The second one, I was just, what are you doing? I was so mad. And this is stupid. I'm not a snob, and I will cuss up a storm. But what the hell? I was taking my kids to this movie, and they were just cussing every other line like asshole. And I think they dropped an F-bomb, and I'm like, and it was unnecessary, over the top. Like, why are you doing that?
Yeah, I liked the first one because it set a new universe, and I was okay with that. And then the second one came, and I was like, am I watching Michael Bay's fan fiction? What is this?
Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty disappointing. Although, saying and differentiate between reboots or is it a sequel? See, here's have you seen the new Voltron?
I have not. I need to watch it though. It looks interesting. I've seen it on Netflix.
I got hooked. I love that thing. They've done so much to develop the characters in it. I mean, primarily. It's very different. It's very Americanized. I mean, as far as, you know, how you are going to relate to these characters and their tropey things, but they're awesome, positive ones, I think. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, there's someone who turns out to be a girl. There's a fat guy. There's, you know, they're kind of misfits and get swept up in this, you know, we're the heroes. We're a bunch of fuck ups. What do you mean? You know, and added all this lore that didn't really exist. Maybe it did. I was really young, but I remember the cats and the robots and the, you know, fighting for justice type thing, but this is way more intricate and interesting and fun. I love that thing. So I'm really glad that's going on. What do you think about the Dawn of the Dead? Because that's an outright, that was a remake.
And very
different from the original.
Well, I don't like zombie movies, unfortunately. I don't like zombies in general because of the Uncanny Valley. Literally, if I watch anything, mostly live action, if I watch anything with zombies, I will have a nightmare. Afterward, yeah, so I can't, like, I tried watching The Walking Dead with my mom when I would go over there, and I couldn't. I was just like, after about the third time, I was like, nope, I can't do this anymore.
Oh, I'm sorry. I dig zombie stuff. Some more, some less. I can have we like to plan our team and what we're going to do when it hits the fan. But Dawn of the Dead, I think, was a unique case in remakes because it is something that's iconic, but I don't feel like the newer one violated or was trying to take the place of it. Really, it put it in a new setting. It put it like in a mall. It put it in a relatable to current time when it came out. So just quite different. And I think it was okay for them to use the Romero brand for that. I don't know.
Well, I'm sure it's wonderful. It just
yeah.
What about other horror? Even Warm Bodies. Even Warm Bodies gave me nightmares, and I liked that movie.
I haven't seen that.
It's it came out like Valentine's Day a couple of years ago, and me and Matt went to go see it as our Valentine's Day date. It's actually really sweet. It's just it's got zombies in it, so I had a nightmare.
Valentine nightmares. That's not good. That's not a good present. No. I have not seen Carrie or Poltergeist. I keep thinking about it, not getting around to it. I do have some nostalgia issues with like Carrie. I don't know why you would do that. Like it being grainy, the film style, what they used. I don't know why they did it, and I kind of don't care enough to even watch.
Yeah, like, I've seen the originals of Carrie and Poltergeist, but I didn't really, like, when they came out, I was just like, eh, okay. I guess it's for the newer generation, but I was fine with the original movies.
Oh, how, we're neglecting It, and that's really
recent.
Oh,
and It, I did not see It.
I did
because
see it.
I was busy with something or other. I've seen the original.
I did see it, and I went with another person who has been a guest on this show, Daniel Jacobs, who had a discussion with us. He's a theologian, and we talked about religious themes in mythology some time ago. And then he's a big Stephen King fan. I used to read a lot of Stephen King for a while, And then I stopped because I got to Tommyknockers and it was so sloppy and it had all these loose ends and I can't deal with that shit. Makes me mad. But I was surprised to find I liked Stephen King at all. I wasn't a horror novel type person, but my dad was, and he gave me a paperback bag full of Stephen King novels one time, and I started reading, and like, they're really good. And a lot of Merced, where I grew up.
That's cool, because there's a bit of familiarity there.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
I know what you're talking about.
Like, he wrote, who's the co-author? The Talisman, with another author I like. And that's a really neat book. And then part of it was in Alcott, which is like, I used to ride my bike there. So, but I'd seen it, you know, the TV thing growing up, and I'm a big Tim Curry fan in general. And that wasn't very good, honestly. But I hadn't read the book at all. I still haven't. We had really good discussions when we went to the movie, though, about treatments of different characters. I thought the movie was quite good. Daniel was upset with, he felt like they turned the girl and it into a damsel in distress.
Well,
and we had some argument about that, because she also just also held the key to everything. Like, I don't think they overdid that. I don't know. But that's something that definitely benefited from technology.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like,
yeah,
the
fly. They can use the you know, the new techniques that they've, you know, learned and made, just to make something. Well, I don't want to say better, because some of the remakes aren't better, but you know, just, you know, camera work and costumes and all that kind of stuff. There's just more of it now.
Yeah. My husband was watching the Blair Witch 2 or whatever. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's a sequel or a remake or what exactly that was. And it was just kind of like tidier and cleaner, because he's like, I think it's just the campers, like the filmmakers have more better cameras. I'm like, but then the points of view, it wasn't even the whole thing about that movie, and I thought it was crap to begin with, but it was interesting, that single camera point of view thing that set up off a whole trend, right?
Yeah, it's all that found footage stuff, and that was kind of the point of the original Blair Witch, is that it was supposed to be not the best camera work. It was supposed to be kind of grainy and out there.
To make it like believable, like it was found footage, like this had happened. And the next one, this one he was watching, was just like any other tropey horror movie that already exists.
But you want to, there's actually like a fan theory going around about the original Blair Witch. Spoilers, I guess. that it was never supernatural. It was those two boys were luring the woman out there to kill her. If you like,
yeah,
watch it from
sense.
That point of view, it changes like certain things, and there's certain things that happen like on camera that don't make sense unless you look at it through that lens. I just thought it was very interesting.
Well, that sounds way more interesting and horrifying to me, actually.
Yeah. Than some weird witch in the woods thing.
Yeah, this is how I'm going to cover my tracks. Really?
Yeah.
Speaking of Disney, they've stopped, it feels like. Maybe I'm just missing it because my kids aren't that little anymore. Like the Eisner era of just taking an animated series and making it 2, 3, 4, 5 to video only and a TV show. Like, they seem to have pulled that back some. And I think that's good, because it was cheapening good properties.
Yeah, because I remember they did that with my favorite Disney movie of all time for a very long time was Lion King. Like, that came out when I was very, not super young, but pretty young, and I remember when my parents bought me the VHS I literally watched it every day for a month straight because I love the movie so much. And then they came out with the sequel to it, which actually wasn't bad. It was in the same style. It had like the same musical style. I really enjoyed the sequel. But then they had like, you're right, like the TV series, the Timon and Pumbaa TV series. And then they had Lion King 1.5, which was like the Lion King story again, but from the perspective of Timon and Pumbaa. It was very interesting and weird. But yeah. It was that kind of era of, and like they did that with Aladdin. They did that with The Little Mermaid. All of the kind of like golden era Disney films, they just like, we're like, let's make as many things as we can with this name on it so we can make some super amounts of money.
And the movies were so good. I mean, musically, that era too. Still had Tim Rice involved for at least some of them. I mean, just wow.
Yeah.
But yeah, it stunk when they did that.
Because some of the movies were, you know, okay. Some of them were not. Like the straight to VHS or straight to video. Yeah. They actually, this is not Disney, but it reminded me, they actually made a sequel to The Secret of Nim, if you remember that film.
I loved that growing up.
The sequel is not good.
Maybe I'm creepy, so there's that.
No, I love it's, it. Like, it makes no sense to me. Like, now when I watch it, I'm like, why is that and that over there? But I loved it as a kid, and I still, you know, love it for nostalgia reasons. The sequel they made of that film was a musical. And I started watching it and I was like, what? You're singing now. That's not part of what the original was. They didn't have singing dancing mice. What is this? It was so bad.
Oh no. Well, I'm glad I didn't watch that.
Yeah, just don't. So bad.
Yeah, I think they do better with their original stuff on television, because some of them, I'm trying to think, there's newer ones they did, Emperor's New Groove, and using different animation and voices. Like, do they think kids don't notice?
I mean, if they're young enough, they probably don't, but you know, their target audience.
My kids are just
probably
nerds about it, because they know voice actors' names. They have since they were like kind of little, and I'm like, they'll start talking using the character, like the voice actor's name, and I don't even know, they lose me. Yeah, that started like, back with like Powerpuff Girls. They got hooked on what's her name.
That's interesting. Like, I know very few even actors' names, so.
Yeah, I just don't memorize those things. I just don't do it. Same with music. I like that song. As far as the band and the artist, I forget. No more room left in my brain. So, there's not really a good conclusion here. I mean, some are okay.
No, it's,
some
it's...
should be done. Some should not. What about reboots?
Yeah,
we haven't really talked about reboots.
I guess the Transformers movies kind of fall under reboots because instead of remakes, because you wouldn't be able to remake the 1986 Transformers movie if you tried, because no one would be able to follow it. I love the series, I love the original series too, and even I'm like, this is a really strange, like, three movies mashed into one thing. So that it's kind of one of the reboots. Let's see.
And Spider-Man,
there's been a lot of Spider-Man reboots, like within 10 years of each other. And that's kind of odd, actually.
It's just strange how they're handling it. They're just like, we're going to reboot it. Like, you're in comic book land. You don't have to make some kind of excuse about what's canon and what isn't when you've got, you know, 16 different comics with that character, and they're all different. I mean, you have different universes. I just don't understand why they're doing it the way they're doing it. As if they're trying to pretend other things didn't happen. Like, why? It was perfectly fine at the time.
I guess any of like the Marvel and DC movies are reboots of the comics because they're taking the stories of the comics and, you know, putting them into a different media.
But well, that's how I feel about books and movies. People always, they compare books and movies. And I never see it that way. I try to separate my mind because it's a different medium. It's just an entirely different medium. You can do different mm-hmm. things with it. I mean, even with stage and television in some productions, you get different tools, different freedoms. And it's a different way to tell a story. It's the difference between, you know, taking a picture or drawing a picture. And I don't think it's fair to compare mediums that way.
So you would consider anything coming from a book and going to a movie a reboot rather than a remake?
I don't know that it's either. I think it's a just a different interpretation. Like, they're just different media. Because you don't have to change anything, and you don't have to copy, but you're inspired by one story to create something. I mean, they're almost all like fanfic, right? I guess.
Yeah, kind of. Like, there are some that are, the work been better in one media than the other. Like, the original Dracula, actually. Have you ever actually read the book?
Yes.
Then, you know, it's all suspense filled by reading someone else's writing. You're reading someone's diary, and then you're reading, you know, clips from like a newspaper. Mm-hmm. And that would be very hard to do in a movie setting. So they have to, you know, take the source material and make something almost completely different.
Well, World War Z is a modern example of that. I love that book. That movie was shite. I mean, you don't do zombies anyway, but it was kind of garbage. It was like a disaster movie, really. Mm-hmm. But you couldn't do clippings. It was almost like, you know, a Dracula context where it was just like this reporter's snippets and stories and stuff he collected as it was going on. And you just kind of mm-hmm. had to put the story together in your head. But you can't do that in a movie. Well, I don't want to say can't. I can think of a movie.
It's a little bit more difficult.
Yeah, it ends up being a disjointed, jumbled, only artsy weirdos are going to get it at all when it does happen. I can't think of the name right now. There's like a movie, it's like right at the tip of my tongue that I own that is like that. Like, you get to the end and figure out it was backwards, told backwards. I don't know.
Oh, that's interesting. But, that's it's like Cloud Atlas, I think, is where Cloud Atlas, if you haven't seen it, is super confusing because you are in the middle of like five stories that keep jumping back and forth. They're mm-hmm. all like, they end up all being in the same timeline, but in way different, like one's way back in like the 1700s and then one's in modern day. One is in the near future. One's in the super far future. And then I think there's one between modern day and the 1700s. It's like in the 50s or the 60s.
See, that's another, I'm a bad geek and I haven't seen that yet.
It's a good movie. It's really good. It's just, you have to pay attention. You cannot let your mind wander for a second during that movie or you're going to miss something.
Oh, cool.
Because you have to pay attention to what everyone's doing because they all end up interconnecting. It's really interesting.
Ooh, I'm all about that. I really like that kind of thing. That's why I'm not like usually really big into horror because I have like, I want a lot of story and I like intricacy. And I like, if I can't see what's coming or I'm trying to figure it out and the pacing is right for it. And I get really picky about my sci-fi and my horror that way. But good other examples, of this book to movie, things like Lord of the Rings, things like Harry Potter, that mm-hmm. the fandoms are so rabid and have read
yes
all of it a lot, right? And then you take it to a movie and somebody's got to complain about some little teeny tiny thing they changed. But I mean, you had to fit the story into that time, and they did a really good job with so much of the spirit of all those, and just, you know, instead, you have to, somebody has to go and have a whole website about there not being enough Luna Lovegood or something, right?
Yeah, it's like, guys, they had 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
Maybe three if you're pushing it.
Like,
There's only so much.
I mean, you couldn't tell. The Lord of the Rings movies are beautiful. I mean, there are some silly bits. I don't know how. I just have to overlook because it was fun to toss a dwarf or Legolas surfing.
Yeah.
So, whatever. But you couldn't tell it like Tolkien writes because no one's going to sit. They were already really long, and I sat through all of them, and I loved it, and I thought it was worth it, and I didn't want my time back. Had a half an hour of it been a tree to make sure I knew every branch, I'd left.
Yeah.
So you can only be so true to it in a different medium.
Yeah, because Tolkien is very dense. Like, I've read The Hobbit, and that was a fun little romp, and then I tried to read Lord of the Rings. I got about a chapter and a half in and I had a headache. I had to put it down for a little while because it's just so super dense with just descriptions and names and all of this. And I was like, oh God, my brain hurts.
Yeah, I was like, I really love the story. I can't stand how you write it. I just,
yeah.
So, yeah. Chime in with your hate mail. geekgrills@gmail.com or call me up 508-474-5577. This actually rings at a phone in my house right now, an old school landline I wasn't using. or leave a message. I might not be here. Especially right after this comes out, because Lord of the Rings people are going to get mad.
Well, we want to hear from you anyway. Just tell us. If you're mad at us, tell us.
Absolutely. All the venues, find us. It's good. We love a lot of input. It helps us come up with more ideas. It helps us find guests. Maybe you want to come on. So what are you most anticipating coming up, Linda?
I promise not every week is going to be movies, but it happens to be another movie this week. It's called The Shape of Water. It's coming out December 1st, and it's got like a 98% on Rotten Tomatoes, which it has me super excited. It's Del Toro, like dark fairy tale, and love me some dark fairy tales. I loved Pan's Labyrinth, so I'm really looking forward to this. I've only seen a couple trailers because I'm trying not to get spoiled. I think it's supposed to be like a retelling of like the Creature from the Black Lagoon or something like that.
98% is outrageously high for Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah. It may change but as it gets closer, but I'm hopeful right now that is a true number. A lot of people were saying because it's the guy that's playing the creature is the same one that played Abe Sapien, that it's somehow hooked into that universe. And I don't think that's true. I don't think it's a part of the Hellboy franchise, because if it was, they would slap the name on there so that all the Hellboy, you know, people that are, you know, fans would come and see it. So I think it just happens to be that it's the same actor who played Abe Sapien in Hellboy is playing the creature in this movie. I think it's just a coincidence.
Well, and I heard him on Nerdist recently, and if it was connected, he definitely would have mentioned it. So there's that.
Yeah. But I'm super looking forward to that.
What am I looking forward to? Well, I think the lock-in tabletop game night at my local comic book store is soon. From Ryan and I's prior conversation, I think sometime in the next couple of weeks. So I'm going to try to run over there tomorrow and get the details. I'm going to try to be talking my husband into, like, running some D&D, or, like, Ryan and I had talked when I had him on the show about creating some kind of 101 course, because lots of people are showing interest in playing Pathfinder D&D RPGs these days, but you can never find a DM.
Right, right.
So I'd like to maybe help them round that out somehow. Or, if nothing else, bring over a bunch of my games, because then they don't have to, you know, open boxes and stuff they're trying to sell.
That's true.
So we do not have any new Patreons to welcome this week and thank, but any day, any time, pop on over to patreon.com/grills and help us out. We really appreciate your feedback. We appreciate any dollar or dime that you toss our way to help us produce this show. We do still have some codes to give away. I add them when I get them. I've got some Steam codes I won recently from TMS I'm going to put in there. and I bought a Humble Bundle, and I've got like the whole Five Nights at Freddy's collection, and I don't like those games, so I'm going to give those away too. So sign up to be a Patreon, and I'll give you free stuff.
And we could really use the iTunes reviews. We love them, and it helps people find us. So if you wouldn't mind just popping on there and giving us a review, tell us how we're doing.
So where can we find you on the interwebs, Linda?
Well, if you would also like to listen to me talk about women in gaming, you can find me on the Glitter Dice podcast. You can also find me on Twitch under the name True Noob. That's TRUN00B. Because I am terrible at video games. That's why I picked that name. And that's where I'll be.
You know, with the glitter dice falling in the notes right under Linda, I almost called you Glinda, which is to be.
I'm blonde. I've gotten it before after, you know, stuff with Lord Wicked. That thing that was really popular back in like 2004. Yeah.
Yeah, that's another. I read all those books and I have not been to the musical. I can be reached at 9 of 12 on Twitter and Twitch, and you can hear me on the Part-Time Gamers podcast. Jen can be found at the Jen Says on Twitter and streaming at twitch.tv/thejenplays. Thanks for listening, everyone. Good game.
Bye.
GG.
GG.
If you enjoyed the show and have the quill skill to shriek speech, leave us a 5-star unique critique on iTunes or thrill us with the size of your handbill by spilling goodwill into our tills at patreon.com/grills. We can also be found windmilling around Facebook and YouTube at facebook.com/geekgrills and youtube.com/geekgrills, where we like to chill. Tweet your siren songs where the throngs belong on Twitter at geekgrills, where we're dressed to kill. For more info on the show, though, go to geekgrills.com, where you can find previous episodes, show notes, and current contest information. Send us your psalms and qualms to geekgrills@gmail.com or give us a ring at 508-474-5577, where we can hear your lovely voice sing the zing thing. Thanks for listening.